Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, to us. Make Christ dearer, heaven nearer, and the word of God clearer. Amen. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. It seemed that night that Nicodemus and Jesus were talking a different language, coming from very different places and experiences. Indeed, this whole episode is full of differences and contrasts. Let me name them as we find them here in John chapter 3. It begins at night when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, who is the light of the world. Nicodemus is a grown man, perhaps a man of advancing years. But Jesus speaks to him of new birth. In their conversation, Jesus contrasts the flesh life with the spiritual life. Jesus gently exposes the gaps in Nicodemus's learning, and he would bring him from ignorance into wisdom. Another contrast. And then Jesus underlines the great gulf between understanding the things of earth and understanding the things of heaven. And finally, their conversation leads to Jesus' proclamation of that unparalleled contrast. The great promise that out of God's amazing love, the believer will not perish, but receive the gift of eternal life. How Jesus was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. So many contrasts and differences at play here. And John knew what he was doing when he was writing this account. So poor Nicodemus goes home that night with more questions than answers. I like to imagine that perhaps as he made his way home through the dark streets, Nicodemus was surprised as the wind suddenly picked up and blew his cloak, which he wrapped around himself, and with the wind about his ears, did those words of Jesus echo around him? The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. The wind, that was real enough. Nicodemus could hear it and feel it upon himself. But those words from the lips of Jesus, were they real? Were they true? Were they trustworthy? And if so, what should he do about it? How should he respond? What was this talk of being born of the Spirit? Just where had Jesus and his message blown in from? And where was it all going? Where would it lead? It was all like trying to grasp the wind. What about us this morning? In this season of Lent, with Nicodemus, we seek an audience with Jesus, a one-to-one encounter. Like Nicodemus, we're in the dark, but we're seeking to come into the light of truth, the light of the Spirit, the light of love. In Lent, we recognize that like Nicodemus, we are seekers after truth. The truth about ourselves and the truth about God. And we know enough to know that Jesus can lead us into that truth and knowledge. And in Lent, we know that the big questions loom large for us. We may come here today like Nicodemus, struggling to grasp at what's going on. We may have unanswered questions. We may have doubts as well as faith this morning. We are earthbound people, flesh and blood, much more certain of what we can see and touch and feel. Like the effects of the wind. Jesus was clever, wasn't he? Always helping his audience by taking everyday examples, the things of nature, whether it's the mustard seed or the birds in the air. And today he speaks about the effects of the wind. And that's something we can understand. We can hear the wind when it blows about our ears. We can see the effects of the wind. We can see how the wind moves the trees in our gardens and parks. It moves the clouds across the skies, as we saw in the video. It blows the birds off their course. The wind dries the washing on the line. Sometimes we can look up high at the weather vane, the cockerel, and we can see which way, from which direction the wind is blowing. When we're on the coast, we can see the wind whipping up the waves. Yes, we can see the effects of the wind, and we can feel it. On a cold morning, we can feel the chill of the wind on our faces. On a stifling hot day, we welcome the light breeze. A following wind can help us on our bicycle or makes us glad that our plane arrived 20 minutes earlier than expected. In a headwind, however, we find it hard to make progress. A strong wind can blow our umbrella inside out. It can drown our speech and force us to seek shelter. And a very strong wind can blow over tables and chairs, rattle doors and windows, or cause even greater disturbance. I'm reminded of the film Chocolat, which is central to our Lent course this year. In that film, the north wind is a recurring metaphor. When the influential chocolate maker, Vianne, and her daughter Anouk arrive in and depart from the sleepy French village, the north wind blows strong, as if it's bringing them in and taking them away. And in that film, the same wind blows open the church door in the middle of a service and creates a disturbance. And in that film, relationships are shown to be more important than religion. So yes, we see and we feel and understand the effects of the wind and the symbolism. We have now a chance of understanding the way of the unseen Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible word for wind is the same word translated spirit. It is the breath of God, the life-giving breath of God. The breath of God, the Spirit of God, which is within all life, within all people. We can't see or touch the Holy Spirit, which isn't some supernatural force, but a person, part of the Godhead, the Trinity. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can, like the wind, see and measure its effects upon us, upon our lives, upon our church, upon our world. The Holy Spirit brings to us a new birth, new life, new love, and so much more. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that a relationship with Jesus is far more important, far more precious than outward, dry, or stuffy religion. Jesus does not call us servants. He calls us friends. He washes our feet. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes such friendship possible, such an experience of God real. Just as the wind moves everything it touches, so it is with the Holy Spirit of God that moves all that he touches. It's a move of love that warms the heart and fans into flame the life of God, the love for God. And when we open ourselves time and again, because it's not just a one-off moment in our lives, when we open ourselves to a move of God and his Spirit, we are not the same. We are changed. And you know, I believe that at some point in his life, Nicodemus responded to what he had heard. He didn't understand everything, but he'd heard enough to make a response as he felt the breeze of the Spirit blowing through his life. He was changed by his encounter with Jesus. A seed of faith was sown in his heart that night, which over time grew and bore fruit as Nicodemus was won over by Jesus, this radical teacher. Nicodemus's life was disturbed. His allegiances changed. Later in his gospel, John tells us that Nicodemus risked his reputation and place of prominence in the Jewish ruling body to speak up on behalf of Jesus at his trial before the high priest, the night before he was killed. That was a bold thing to do. It was so easy for him to go with the flow. And after the crucifixion, John also tells us that Nicodemus was involved in the request made by a man named Joseph of Arimathea, requesting the body of Jesus for proper burial. And Christian tradition has it that Nicodemus was baptized by Peter and John, that he suffered persecution by hostile Jews, lost his membership in the Sanhedrin, and was cast out of Jerusalem because of his Christian belief. I doubt any of that could have happened without the empowering of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Spirit blew upon him. It turned the weather vane in his life and set his life on a completely new direction. Yes, initially Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. But ultimately, the impact of that first encounter and that work of the Spirit and his devotion to Jesus brought Nicodemus out into the open, into the light of day, as a public witness to Christ. When those important questions and convictions are answered deep in our hearts, then a man or woman will risk anything to stand with their Lord. And we're challenged, aren't we, by all of this? And we're made to ask ourselves, are we still open to God and his Spirit? In Lent, we go in to ourselves and we examine our lives and look and ask, Lord, where is there movement and life within me? Where is there any resistance? Where am I closed to you? Or where am I cold to you like a large rock standing, letting the wind pass through, but not within? To say, Lord, come to me and be moved within my life again. May I yield to God. And that may involve confessing to God the pride that dares not admit that it was wrong, or that we don't know all that there is to know, that we haven't received all that there is to receive. To confess the selfishness that sees nothing but its own will. To confess the righteousness that knows no fault. The callousness that has ceased to care. The defiance that does not regret its own sins. To confess the evasion that always tries to make excuses. The coldness of heart that is too hardened to repent. Friends, the breath of God's Spirit can blow all of this away from our lives. The Spirit breathes forgiveness over us today and fills us with love, pure love, more love for God, for our neighbor, whom we're called to serve. So today and in Lent, let us look to the weather vane of our life, the weather vane of our churches, the weather vane of our communities, and look closely to see where the breath of God's Holy Spirit is blowing strong, to see which direction he is blowing in, leading us to. Yes, going with the flow of the Spirit will surprise us as it surprised Nicodemus. It will disturb us and challenge us. It will change our allegiances, turn our lives upside down, or rather the right way up, and even take us, blow us along the way of the cross, a way that has the strongest headwind of all as we resist. But the breath of God will gently carry us on our way to the place where he wants us to be. The Spirit moves where he will. The truth is, at the last, we cannot resist, harness, or control the Holy Spirit, just as we cannot resist, control, or harness the wind. We can simply choose to open ourselves to his movement and his life. Will you do that today? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your living word, for your living Spirit. And Lord, help us now as we respond in worship to welcome a new work in our lives, to welcome your power at work, changing us into the likeness of Jesus. Amen.